Good morning, everybody.
Scott,
good morning, Sheldon. Good. How are you, Sheldon?
Good. I'm on my second cup of coffee.
You are on your second cup?
Yes.
Wow. I feel...
Second cappuccino.
So gotcha.
Not a full cup.
I feel bad. I live in Seattle. I haven't had any coffee.
So I am awake.
All right. Because cool. Today's show is going to be exciting and in-depth because we're talking about the Course's view of atonement and salvation. And I know for me, especially being a recovered Catholic, I'd say, when I remember reading especially a lot of the different words in the Course, and those two words in particular really kind of, I had a strong reaction, I think, to some of that language.
Yeah, I think that the Course has to reinterpret or does reinterpret a lot of those words, right?
Exactly, yeah, because, I mean, I know a couple people had seen the posting that, you know, we're going to talk about that, and they're like, you're going to talk about that? Like, whoa, like, why would you talk about that? Or I thought you weren't a Catholic anymore, a Christian, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, you know, the Course has a completely different perspective on everything, but especially the words.
Interesting. So you had some comments about that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't have any of that upbringing. So I guess I didn't have to. That wasn't one of my things in terms of like having to look at and heal or release or any of the kind of dogma or whatever, right? The traditional association with the meanings of the words.
Yeah, I mean,
atonement and salvation. So.
Yeah, there's just in the different religions, there's obviously different interpretations and perspectives. And, you know, someone that grew up in Catholic schools for a long time, you know, you get indoctrinated in a certain way to hear words or see words. In Catholic school, you know, you had to take theology class every year, you know, all year long. And I was in Catholic school from, oh gosh, fourth grade on. Through high school? Yeah. That's a lot of indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so, yeah, at least for someone like me, and I know other, you know, Christians or Catholics that might have questioned what they were being taught and how they're being taught, you know, when they read the Course, they might have words that just, you know, you might feel that it upsets you or kind of get your emotions going because of some of that old indoctrination. But I think the Course's perspective on everything is very beautiful.
Yeah. I remember hanging out with this girl, and she had been involved in, I think it was Southern Baptist, and she was quoting, making some quote and some reference. And so she pulls out a Bible and she's reading a particular quote and talking about the interpretation. And I said, and I can't, I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but I was just like, well, when I read that, it sounds like it means this. And it was something completely opposite and different. And it had a much more Buddhist sort of feel. And it was just a loving kind of thing, but it was taught to her in a way that was very judgmental and kind of, you know, oppressive or whatever, and fear-based. And I said, how come that can't just mean this? And she just, in her face went blank. And she's just like, I mean, when I read that, when I read those words, it seems like it's just this. And she was just like, oh my God, I never, ever questioned it because I was told it meant this. And I never questioned it. And I go, do you read that now though? And can you just see what I'm saying? Like, it's just somebody just reading those words. And she was like, absolutely. And she freaked out actually. It was kind of upsetting for her, right? Because it was kind of turning her world upside down a little bit, right? In terms of this accepted definition taught to her by the ministers and people and all that kind of stuff, people in authority. And then this thing, you know, just one interpretation of one line was kind of shifting all of that for her in a way that was unsettling. And that's what the Course does, I think, for everything.
Yeah. It's always about reframing your mind, the egoic mind, into realizing, oh yeah, that's not the right way to think, you know, right versus wrong thinking.
And that you can think differently about everything. And you can interpret and perceive differently. And that as you do that, that's part of the healing process.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you know, especially when you see Christian words being used, it might bring up, you know, past examples associated with that. I mean, I know for me, I always go back to an experience I had. I was in Catholic school, you know, high school, and I was working one summer, I think, as a bagger, or the guy that goes out and gets the grocery carts at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Jewish owned store. And it was interesting because at times there would be these pretty, and I forgot what branch of Christianity they were. I don't know if they're Pentecostals or something like that, but they would purposely stand outside those stores because they assumed everyone working there or going to that store was Jewish. Like, really? Like, why, first of all, why would you assume that? But secondly, it was also this handing out, you know, sheets of paper and asking people if they want to be saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus, you know. And it's like people associate Christian words sometimes with those, you know, maybe more judgmental or less positive experiences. And it takes a little bit to get over that.
Violent imagery,
yes. And also, you know, the attacking and judgmental versions of Christianity just, I don't think, sits very well with people, aside from the people that are probably in there and feel that they're justified and they're saved and everything's good on their end and everybody else is screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Or the chorus is like, no, you need to accept all of your brothers and sisters and love them. And, you know, there's no need to preach all this stuff because it's just about practicing it for yourself. And the chorus is just for you. It's not to push on anybody else.
Right. So we like to make this radio show available to push onto everybody else.
Yes, of course. Force it down everybody's throats.
You will.
Spiritual throats. Yeah. You will obey. Yeah.
That's funny.
But it is open. If anyone wants to participate on the show, there's a way to participate. You can call in live.
Oh, yeah.
And that number is 888-627-6008. I'll just read it one more time. 888-627-6008. And any topic, anything related to the course, any experiences you feel like sharing, please feel free to call in.
That would be cool.
That would be.
One of these days we'll be shocked.
One day, yes. And also just want to mention we have a Facebook page, Of Course Radio Facebook. We're getting some more followers from across the world, and if you're listening, welcome. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, and they can download these things after the fact if they don't hear them live or whatever, right?
They certainly can as a podcast, yeah.
Cool. And we kind of started talking about stuff. Are we going to do a little meditation or not?
We did start talking. I think we should. I think the meditations are always cool.
Okay.
And then we'll, if you have a quote, I know I've got a couple quotes I'd love to read as well. It's cool. Always good to go back to the source, A Course in Miracles. But we'll start with, you want to do the meditation, Sheldon?
Sure. Let's, all right. Let's rock this meditation.
Let's do it.
Here we go. So, you know, if you happen to be in like a vehicle, motorcycle, car or something and driving it, you're obviously not going to want to participate. You might want to not participate at this moment, but if you're available and you're somewhere comfortable, you want to just relax, get comfortable, take a nice deep breath, nice deep inhalation, exhalation. Just taking a moment to bring your awareness into the breath. That allows the mind to quiet just by becoming aware of the breath. It brings you into present moment consciousness. And then I like to invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is, or an activation of sorts. It can be any form of calling to the Holy Spirit that you want. It can be as simple as just, Holy Spirit, come. you might become aware of an energy activation, a light activation in the center of your chest and your heart chakra. As we allow the mind to quiet, we shift our awareness into the heart center, which is the church, the inner church, the sacred altar, which lies within, the seat of the divine spark within. You can imagine a light in the center of your chest, glowing and radiating like a flame. This is a light of absolute unconditional love. It radiates an energy of peace, compassion, acceptance. And this light is unchanged. It is pure. It is eternal and unaffected, unchanged by any of the events, any of the experiences that you have had in any lifetime, in any dimension, in any form. Feel that light within you. See that light within you. Let that divine spark within you shine. Let it radiate healing, peace, love, and joy. First through your body and mind, and then as it radiates ever more strongly, let it bring healing and peace and love and joy to all those that you are connected with. And I'd like to conclude by bringing my hands together in prayer to give thanks. And then that's it. Here we are. There you go.
Oh, that was a deep one.
Cool.
Thank you, Sheldon.
My pleasure. Cool.
Yeah, a great reminder, just taking even a few minutes out of your day, just connecting like that, just does wonders.
It does not take a lot of time.
Exactly.
So, and you know, for me, my whole with regard to meditation is it's better to do 2 minutes 10 times a day than to do 120. Like if you can just put in the little moments and intersperse them throughout your crazy day, that it helps you and reminds you, you know, you're reconnecting constantly throughout the day. And that is important. And it doesn't take a lot of time.
Yep. So. Even if it's 10 to 20 seconds in between, yep. If you're at work, like in between meetings or in a meeting, or, you know, you're running around doing errands, you could still take that space. Because I would agree. I think it's really about practicing mindfulness and peacefulness all throughout the day rather than set aside a big chunk at the beginning, which, I mean, it's still very helpful.
Sure.
But this is all about catching yourself all throughout the day so that it becomes just a part of who you are.
Yep. Constant reminders.
Yep. And, which is why the workbook lessons are so great.
Yep. And you can do it like literally staring at the computer and just sort of close your eyes, or you don't even have to close your eyes. You can just sort of zone out for that moment. Bring your awareness into your heart, into your breathing for that second, you know, call in Holy Spirit or whatever, higher self, however you feel connected, right? And just bring in that energy, sort of make a shift into what is your state of peace at that moment. Sort of it's like checking in with yourself and then allowing that peace, connecting to that within, right? And then, you know, you move on with your day. And it might take longer at first, but it can take literally seconds. And then you do that throughout the day. So you can literally kind of be in the middle of the craziness of the day, looking at, pretending like you're reading an email for a second and just stop, check in.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
Yep. For me, it's a radiant and a vibration I feel in my body, right? So I can hit that and just know that you can feel it. And there's a shift that happens. Kind of spend a couple moments and let that anchor in and then just go about your business.
Mm-hmm.
But you're hitting it. You're moving about your business from a different place.
Yeah, completely different. Like even before, I noticed before you started the meditation and just kind of doing that initial deep breath, which is always really helpful. I noticed for some reason, yeah, I was a little bit tight in my chest. Mm-hmm. And I just helped like, oh yeah, I just relax into it and just be a lot more peaceful and flowy. Mm-hmm. And I noticed for me personally, I've been kind of doing that, try to be in a meditative state or just thinking about, you know, Holy Spirit, God, as I'm walking into work, as I'm walking in between meetings. It's just kind of a nice thing to do.
Absolutely. And the workbook lessons get more and more frequent in their intervals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It starts from the beginning because it says it's like a mind training program, right? And as it gets more intense on the more frequent, like every hour for 5 minutes and all that kind of stuff. The idea being that you can walk with Holy Spirit, you can walk with that presence and that radiant peace and that connection to Source no matter what you're doing.
Right.
And it can be constant, but that takes practice, right?
Yeah.
We all get lost in our stuff and then kind of come back. But the more frequently you come back and remind yourself, the better you get at it. It's really all it is.
That's it. That's it. That's all. Yeah, it is. It's a simple idea, but maybe takes tricky. Practice doing it. Right. Yeah, but tricky because of the ego and how we all get caught up in our own different ways. But eventually that leads you to having that oneness atonement experience, which, you know, salvation is the path to that.
And nice segue.
What we're going to talk about today.
Oh, slick.
Hey, they don't pay me for nothing. You know?
Nicely done. Salvation and atonement. That's what we're talking about.
Tricky. Yeah, that is, isn't it?
Yes. So what is it?
What is what?
Salvation and atonement. Oh. What the hell is that?
What is that? So, yeah. Yeah, and again, you know, everything from the course's perspective, it really is about what's going on at the mind level and how are you perceiving things and what is it that you're experiencing and seeing your brothers and sisters in. And what I love about the course is it always brings it back to that level. So it's not about preaching atonement or preaching salvation or deciding and judging who is going to be saved and who's going to be damned, because the course keeps reaffirming, well, you're all saved already. It's just mm-hmm. that your mind has split, and any choice that you make or you judge, condemn, you're either in fear or you're in guilt. You're siding with the ego. And so there's a process of atonement that's there that basically heals the mind. So every time a miracle is performed at the mind level, it's bringing you back to the atonement state or the state of complete oneness mm-hmm. or just love with God. The atonement is really another symbol or word for just love, God's love. And that, you know, once you finally have healed your mind, you have atoned your mind. It's not atoning your sins, because all sin was the ego's choice, a mistake to separate from the oneness of love of God. And
the thought of doing that, right?
Exactly, right. And then salvation is, this is my interpretation, and probably talk a little bit more and read some more about some of the quotes. But to me, salvation is just, it's a tool that is needed because of the split, because of the ego. And it's salvation is sort of like the path to get mm-hmm. you towards atonement, which atonement mm-hmm. you can reach, you know, in the holy instant or in a single moment. But it's sort of like that path that's healing your mind, that's mm-hmm. reinterpreting, using the Holy Spirit to help you reinterpret your mind and heal the split of your mind from mm-hmm. source, from God. In fact, there is a quote I'd like to read for salvation, and it's text chapter 4, section 2, 10. And it says, salvation is nothing more than right-mindedness, which is not the one-mindedness of the Holy Spirit, but which must be achieved before one-mindedness is restored. So again, it's sort of like that path right before that oneness, which the atonement is what holds all that oneness experience mm-hmm. for us. It was made or built for us. I think it says on the altar of God, atonement was made the moment we split to save that for us, to remind us constantly that that's our true nature, our true state. Mm-hmm. And that's what the course is all about.
Yeah. And mine was like lesson 99, which is salvation is my only function here. And mm-hmm. it says the first sentence, salvation and forgiveness are the same.
Ah.
So it's exactly, yep. you know, the same as what you're talking about, which is
yep.
the process of forgiveness is the process that brings you back into atonement, right?
And it's only, yeah, I think the course says, you know, both forgiveness and salvation are only temporary tools, because we right now believe in time. Mm-hmm. And until we reach the state of oneness, which we don't need time anymore, healing, then those tools go away, because right. you're just in that state.
it kind of says that about atonement too, right? That once you're... atoned.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it uses it as a verb slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. The funny thing, and this is where I shouldn't say this course only capitalizes atonement. I think there's times where the course capitalizes the word salvation, because sometimes that's a clue to me. Like mm-hmm. if you're reading the course and it says, you know, yourself, and self is lowercase, then they're talking about the egoic self. Whereas mm-hmm. if self is capitalized, that means like your spirit self, your oneness self. And right. I think that's the same thing in the course. It'll write about atonement or salvation. And if it's lowercase, that means that as you're reading it, you're kind of, the perspective would be, okay, this is applying to how you're working at the ego level. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's capitalized, then, and I think atonement throughout the course is capitalized pretty much the whole time because it's the end state.
Right.
Whereas forgiveness and salvation are the tools or the path to get to that end state.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And there is another course that's kind of neat because it has atonement, salvation together. This is text chapter 13. It's the introduction, section 4. And it says, the atonement is the final lesson he need learn. For it teaches him that never having sinned, he has no need of salvation.
There you go.
Again, a little Aikido style. I love the Aikido right. thing that the course does. It's pretty neat.
All the paradoxes. There's mm-hmm. a bunch. I mean, it's all about paradox, really.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, go ahead and use forgiveness, use the path of salvation, but you don't really need it because you're already complete and done and whole with God. Right. So, but hey, if you're going to believe in the other side, then yeah, you should use these tools.
Right.
You know, if you believe you're a body or that your brothers and sisters are bad people and they've done bad things or even how you feel that way about yourself, then yeah, you're going to need these tools.
Which comes to one of those kind of, to me, like a fundamental aspect of this any process of healing, if you will, is acceptance of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of acceptance of what you're feeling, of acceptance what feels real to you, mm-hmm. Emotional pain, wounds. It's not about denying those things and saying, oh, this is just an illusion. I don't need to feel this. It's about you have to accept what you're feeling and where you are, right? Yep. Which is the process so that you can, you know, rather than just denying that you have that, feeling it. So the course is using salvation, forgiveness. These are tools that aren't technically in reality even necessary, right? Because mm-hmm. like you said, we never actually left. The idea of separation is just that, a false idea. So it's that whole journey of 1,000 steps that goes nowhere.
Exactly. Yep. And removing the roadblocks to love.
Right. And removing the roadblocks that make you think that you do need to do something, right?
Exactly.
But yep. But since you believe that you're there in a place where you have to do something, you have to accept that place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you accept the process, and then in the acceptance comes the realization, ultimately the final realization, which is that you didn't need to do any of it.
Right.
But if you just deny the whole thing all the time, you actually solidify that thing. That's that whole process of fear and judgment making sin real, making exactly. the separation real. So it's an interesting paradox in how that approach happens.
It really is, yeah, and that's why there's certain metaphors that I think could be helpful. I know one of the ones that works for me, it's, you know, for whatever reason, we've created this reality. We, you know, the egoic mind decided, I want to try creating apart from God, from source, from love, and boom, split, fractures. Mm-hmm. Then a lot of fear and guilt comes in, and all of a sudden we're hiding out in what appears to be all these bodies. But I think at the mind level, what's happening is, you know, you're really sort of in the dark, but maybe you're in this cave and there is a light still there, just that your back is turned to it and you're beating your fists on a wall, trying to make that wall become heaven again. And it's like, well, wait a second. If you just relax, calm down.
Turned around.
Become peaceful. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you'd realize, oh, maybe I have some other choices. And eventually you kind of turn around and go, oh, there's the light. I want to head to that light rather than keep beating my fists on this wall that's never going to move or give me the healing or love that I know that I deserve.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Or something like that.
Or something like that.
So have you had experiences, Sheldon, in your life of path of salvation and feeling that oneness, that atonement peace that the Course talks about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's that, but what is it? It's moments at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about that before where you have the fleeting moment of peace, but 99% of it is fear and turmoil in your mind. And then you, you know, you take a walk in that park or you watch the sunset and you have that one moment where it felt peaceful and you felt connected and, you know, joyous, and you cried at the sunset. But then 99% of the rest of the time, you're all totally like in chaos and your mind's spinning out or whatever. Right. And then
yeah,
it shifts to where 99% or whatever, the percentages start to shift where you're in peace more. And then you do get pulled out on occasion. You get caught up in things, but you're in peace most of the time. And then the percentages get bigger where you're kind of in peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, something catches you, but it's only a moment instead of years or months and lifetimes of being caught up in some particular thing. You start to shift.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens. So it becomes a scale thing where, you know, you're at peace more and more and more and more. And I've definitely found that to be the case for myself, where mm-hmm. it takes, there's fewer things that trip you. But then that process of healing is like, as you're going through the big stuff, the big buttons, and you heal those, the buttons become more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So then it, that's why the Course says that minor irritation is the same as murderous rage.
Yeah.
So something that bugs you on the slightest level, and you know, you have that little thought that just floats across your mind, and it's an attacking thought, but yep. it just floats so subtly that you dismiss it.
Yeah.
That's where the awareness starts to really, you know, as you're healing and releasing things, that you need, you know, you have to become more and more dialed into the subtle things like that.
Exactly.
Because those are opportunities for healing and release, right?
Completely. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because, you know, I have to admit, the other day I was driving. I feel like I've gotten a lot more peaceful about my driving. Yeah. I grew up in the Detroit area, and maybe my driving was very aggressive, maybe.
It's reflective, right? The driving in traffic is reflective.
It's a great way to check in. And I noticed the other day, like, someone, you know, they didn't see me, and they just cut me off, right? And the first thought in my mind was, jerk. But I caught myself. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? That was just complete knee-jerk reaction, right?
Right.
And I could feel, you know, some anger welling up, and it's like, whoa. You know, and those are the moments that, like, you're talking about. It's like, it was just, like, really quick, and it was like a boop. But those
you
are
can
the
easily dismiss
that,
it. Exactly. And you can easily dismiss it, and it just goes on, and then you drive on, and you never, you know, you don't do any looking at that.
Yep.
But when you catch it, whoa, what was that?
Right, because there's programming. I mean, again, I grew up in an area where I have to say, your program, if someone cuts you off, like, you're expected to start yelling, flip them off, honk your horn.
Right, I mean, or tail them or whatever, right? Get up.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give an example. You know, I was with some people, I won't say who, and we were driving, and this was back in Michigan. This was after I'd moved out and had kind of calmed down a lot around driving. And in Michigan, there's a lot of, for some reason, there's a lot of lights where it's, you start out at two lanes, and then, like, almost immediately after the light, it'll go back down to one lane. And a lot of people in Michigan that know that area, like, know that, and they're sitting in the right lane, they're gunning their engines, they just want to beat everybody, right? And so, you know, this was at night, it was like a snowy road, and this couple cars got in front of me. I'm like, whatever. And then a woman, instead of, you know, kind of braking and getting behind me, she cut me off and got in front of me, while the people in the car were like, hit her, you know, smack into her. Like, I'm like, whoa, no way. This is crazy. Just sort of like, let them go, forgive them and love them. And there's no need to elevate it and take it to violence, you know. But it's just so interesting how, and some people, and these are people I'd say are loving people for the most part, and just like, but in their minds, it was totally justified to go get them, you know,
right.
Go attack them.
And it's funny, because you can see that attacking thought manifest really clearly, right? They'd actually want to get in a wreck just to
create more violence. Yeah. Attack.
Just to be right.
Yep. Yeah. Just to judge and condemn, which is the ego loves that.
Right.
Because that means they're safe, and they're justifying that other people are guilty and not you personally, or not you as the ego.
And then there's that one lesson, right? Would you rather be right or happy?
Yep. That's a great one. I'm still learning that one.
Yes. Y'all, right? No, actually, I want to be right now.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah. At this moment right now, I want to be right.
Because you're wrong.
Exactly.
Good
those
topics.
Those are the not-so-subtle moments.
Not subtle at all, yes.
Pretty clear what's going on.
Yep. But I also wanted to circle back. I felt like for this particular show, it was probably good to read a lot from the course because, again, the whole atonement salvation thing, I think it's for some reason it gets misinterpreted a lot. But you were talking, Sheldon, especially about how everything's kind of like going on inside you. And there's one quote, for whatever reason, it's just sticking out to me right now. And it's text chapter 4, section 3, paragraph 1. It is hard to understand what the kingdom of heaven is within you really means. This is because it is not understandable to the ego, which interprets it as if something outside is inside, and this does not mean anything. The word within is unnecessary. The kingdom of heaven is you, and what else but you did the Creator create, and what else but you is his kingdom? This is the whole message of the atonement, a message which in its totality transcends the sum of its parts.
Wow. There you go.
Yep. And I love that. Yeah, it just keeps reminding it's all about oneness. It's all about, and especially about seeing your brothers and sisters in that way as spirit and as being one. Because I think the Course, my interpretation of the Course is it's not just about kind of reminding that just you are spirit and you're one with God, you are God with God. It's also seeing that with your brothers and sisters, because until you can do that, it's then your mind still isn't one.
Right.
Sort of like you can be in a cave and be at perfect peace, but if you walk out of that cave and judge and condemn people, then you haven't learned anything.
It's, and you, when you read that and you think about like, Ramana Maharshi or Nisargadatta, mm-hmm. some of those Hindu, right? Mm-hmm. There is no outside, right?
Yeah.
There's yep. nothing that's not you. So yep. that's what that's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, the mystics or the folks that have, I think, probably have really gotten it. It's like they just exude love. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. It could be, you know, a lot of the older stories, it was like a murderer, a thief, or you know, a child. It's like they just saw them all the same, just with perfect love.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the atonement. Atonement is perfect love.
Right.
It makes you want to cry, doesn't it?
It kind of makes you still.
Yeah. Because it's simple. It is simple. If all we did was just be in touch with love and exude love, that's it. Then we are just accepted. Our minds are accepted back into heaven again fully. Because mm-hmm. there's no need for the ego. And I think that's, in the Course it says that's when God takes the final step and just accepts you back. Well, I don't think it's accept. It's, now I'm blanking on the words. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sheldon?
Mm-hmm.
God takes the final step. Yeah, okay. Sort of like, the door to heaven opens back up again. Like the prodigal. Oh, yeah. It's like the prodigal son story in the Bible.
I love
God's
that story.
God's just waiting there. So, gosh, I can't wait for my son or daughter to come back. I had never had any problems with them. They got upset, but that's okay. As soon as they come back, I'll let them in and we'll have this great feast together.
Welcome back with arms of joy. Arms wide open, big joy, let's throw a party.
Yep. Unconditional love. Right. And all you have to do is just start our journey back mm-hmm. in our minds that we really want to go back, and you'll get there. Might be a few obstacles along the way, but that's all right. But I'm sure, Sheldon, you don't have any obstacles. You're just smooth sailing.
Yeah. constant play. It's constant play. We get to play with these things.
Yeah. Do you have any recent examples?
Should I talk about that one?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So a couple guys in the shop were upset with each other through various whatever. He said, you know, this, blah, blah, blah. He behaved this way. And they were pretty upset. And it was one of my technicians and one of my other guys. And they were pretty to the point of almost, they were standing there pretty intensely upset with each other. And I was busy with some other stuff. And it had been brewing for weeks, or at least a week or two. And I talked to them individually about each other and just sort of calmed things down. But this sort of came to a head this one morning. And it was kind of interesting because when I got pulled away, I was talking to one of the guys, I got pulled away. And then when I came back, these two guys were like standing there, you know, face to face, talking fairly intensely. And I just put my hands on both their shoulders and started laughing. It was kind of funny. I don't know. I think that there's, you know, when your mind sort of quiets, I think there's a certain kind of humor and wackiness in some of the stuff that we all play out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of cracking up. And then I just looked at him and I said, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. He was like, you respect him. I know that. I know that. And I think I have my hand on my heart. I know that deep in his heart, he respects the heck out of you. And I know that deep in your heart, you respect the heck out of him. And the one guy just looked at me and I was kind of laughing and just going, this is crazy. You know, what's going on here? And the one dude just looks at me and he was red in the face. He was upset. And he just cracks a smile and he starts shaking his head like, you son of, you know, like you, like, cause you know, it was funny. Right. And I was cracking up. I was like, what are you guys? You totally respect him. I know that. And so do you. You respect him because, yeah, I know. I respect him. And I said, and you respect, I totally respect him. I'm like, yes, I do. And I said, well, you guys respect each other. You totally both respect each other, then. And yet there's this stuff going on. So it's just a communication thing, you know? We just need to figure out how we communicate with each other so that, you know, this doesn't happen. And he's like, I know. And then he was like, well, you know, he kind of said this. I didn't even think he did that. He just says, next time, you know, we just need to talk about this and we'll just figure it out, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, done. Like 30 seconds. Done. And they were totally like, fine. Like it was diffused like that. And it wasn't until sort of afterwards when I was kind of talking about it and thinking about it with the group and stuff that the Course in Miracles group that I was sharing the story that it kind of dawned on me that I didn't get into any of the analysis that we like to do,
mm-hmm.
that I think the ego likes to do. Who said what? You know, you said it like, how did you say it? You said it with this certain tone and oh my gosh, you know, which is all that judgment, right? I can't believe he actually said that those words. He should have used different words or whatever, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
he should have known or he should have known that I was in this thing because something bad happened and I was in a bad state and he should understand that. And you know what I mean? Just this total dissection of everything that transpired, right? And I didn't do any of that. And then it kind of also dawned on me that the word respect is a form of love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was you love him. He loves you. You guys love each other. Let's just figure out a way to talk. And that stuff sort of just flowed and it wasn't like my doing either. I was just kind of present and this sort of just happened. So to me, that was like when you kind of, you know, again, sometimes our human mind likes to analyze, you know, I was just open and present. I was at peace. It flowed through. A way of communicating love that we all feel for each other. And that completely diffused the whole thing in like 30 seconds without any need to say, oh, you shouldn't have said that or blah, 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 blah. It was just like return to love. Boom. And that was it. It was done.
Yep. And it can be quick. And that's like, I think what you're also talking to is like perfect demonstration of teacher for God, which we'll talk about in our next show more. But yeah, that's such a great example. Yeah. You don't know that yet, Sheldon, but yeah.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And it was pretty complete in the sense that later on there was an opportunity for one of them to help the other. And they totally did. And in a way that really demonstrated to me that the whole thing had been forgiven on a pretty mm-hmm. deep level where there was no hidden animosity between the two of them. And they were working together totally fine.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see and witness and just go, wow, that was cool, you know? And just that, you know, to be able to witness that was awesome. Makes me want to cry.
Do it.
I'm going to cry. But, you know,
it is beautiful. I mean, yeah, because you think about especially what's going on in the world today, it's just so easy for people to choose the path of violence versus surrendering to love, because the ego, again, it's afraid to surrender to that because it feels, the ego knows if it keeps doing it, it will die. It will go away. So it's going to want to fight that as much as possible.
And, you know, these guys that I'm working with, you know, I work in a body shop, you know, these are tough guys.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of programming. Yep.
They're tough guys. These are, you know, tattooed up, muscled up, tough guys that don't take it from anybody kind of thing, you know, and they won races and, you know what I mean? They're like into motorcycles, you know, they're
sure.
They're not,
they weren't brought up in an environment that probably taught that love is an answer, that you can respond that way. It's like, yeah, there's a whole, I think in all over the world, there's so many aspects of our society. It's all about being tough and don't show emotion, don't show any sign of being vulnerable, basically.
And I think it's that, you know, anybody can hold that space and hit that place and be that presence, right? And then we all did it, and we all do it together.
Yep.
So their ability to just return to love, to return to the respect, you know what? He's right. We both respect each other. So, you know, at that point, the whole thing becomes silly, right?
Yep.
And it's not about who did, you know, say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. So am I. You know, I didn't mean it. You know, I didn't mean it either. Well, you know, okay, cool. It's just, you know, next time, just make sure we, you know, communicate and get on the same page. Okay, sounds good. Boom, done.
Yep, exactly.
It's like, all right, that's wild. It's kind of like how to not problem solve.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's like not problem solving. The
anti- not problem solving, yeah.
No, it's like there is no problem.
Exactly. That's key right there. It's like there's nothing to solve. You're just getting people out of their own way just by showing them, hey, just. And of course, I think it was probably pretty brilliant. You know, you start off by laughing. That just breaks up the situation immediately. Laughter is so great for that.
It definitely, the one dude like looking at me, shaking his head, cracking a smile. He didn't want to smile at that point because he was still caught up, you know.
But it broke him out of it. Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? I was like, hey, what are you guys doing?
What's going on?
How's it going? And they're like,
yeah.
He's so bitch. What are you doing? not like
other people, like, fight.
Yeah.
That whole mentality.
Right. It was pretty funny. So that was cool.
That's very cool. Bringing in the love.
Yeah. Bringing in the love. I think I talked about love and fear in one of our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Not this past Tuesday, the week before, but I actually talked about it. Which is kind of interesting in the body shop, you know. There's only two things. You're either coming from love or you're coming from fear.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, to be having those conversations at work, that's pretty amazing. I know I brought some stuff up where I work, but I just don't feel completely comfortable kind of probably doing that on a daily basis. But although I should probably try it, because it sounds like you're having pretty amazing experiences because of it.
Yeah, I think it's like dropping little seeds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just dropping little pebbles into the pond and
boom. Yep. And not worrying about where they go or how to nourish it. You just drop them in.
Drop it in and let it go. And it doesn't have to be a big, huge lecture, you know, just boom, boom. Like for me, it was like 2 minutes at the end of the meeting, 3 minutes, you know, very short. And then turn around and walk away.
Yeah. Wow. That's why I love you. I respect you. Lots of respect, lots of love.
It's all the the play out of all the wackiness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And again,
I think that that's be as a child.
Yeah.
You know, there is, well, what does that mean? You must be as a child to return to the kingdom. And I think that there's a wonder, a sense of wonder and amazement that children have, right, at mm-hmm. everything, without a sense of judgment. It's just,
almost, yeah.
You can be fascinated and interested without the judgment.
Yep.
You can just be like, wow, look at that. Mm-hmm. Look at those thoughts I'm having or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even in that's especially within your own being, right? The layers of stuff that need release without getting into, I'm a bad spiritual person or wow.
Right.
Look at this. I still have this thing came up again, and I thought I forgave my mom once, and it's the 100th time I'm feeling like I have to forgive or whatever, right? You know, and then we get into judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, wow, it's still there. Okay.
Yeah. And just let it go.
And there's a lightness in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah. Or, yeah, like, and even catching yourself, like, oh, maybe I judged somebody. Just like, okay, wow, I did that.
Yeah,
or, you know, my aspect of me did that, but that's, I want to let that go. I don't want to be doing that anymore.
Yeah, I think there's a lightness in that seriousness is an egoic function. It's an aspect of the ego. Like, this is serious, you know. This is important, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like that.
And you better get it right or you're not going to get it at all.
Right. And if you don't heal this now, that kind of aspect, right?
So yeah.
That seriousness that happens to us towards ourselves.
Yep. Or
be like to anybody else and serious to ourselves. No, but you better do this, you know?
Yep. Or I normally do a 5-step process and I miss step 3. So that means I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Screwed it all up.
And I think we talked about that people will do the lessons over and over again saying, I didn't do the lesson right.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You need to do the lesson again. You got to do it over. So it's that salvation process of release and forgiveness. There's a lightness that comes with it, I think.
I would agree. I'm glad you kind of are tying it up here as we get close to the end of our show. But yeah, I agree. I think as you journey down the path of salvation and you're getting kind of undoing all the burdens that you've been carrying with you, then yeah, you just get lighter. You see things with more lightness. You treat people with more lightness in yourself. And
my burden is light.
The lessons, even though maybe to other people might seem huge to you, it's just not as big of a deal. It's just, there's a lot of benefit to doing, I think, the course, or to be, you know, in alignment with love and healing. And no matter, it doesn't have to be the course, it could be anything. And it's just a beautiful journey.
Nothing is a big deal.
Nothing.
I like that.
Yeah.
There's a little double meaning on that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing is a big deal.
Nothing. It's all love.
That's a good one.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think we're at the top of our show hour. And for those
pretty much.
Great to have you along.
ArtsUnityMovement.com. We're in the middle of a fundraising campaign on Indiegogo.
Thank you.
Would love it if anybody who might listen or hear this goes to ArtsUnityMovement.com, and there is a link to our Indiegogo campaign there. And if you go to Arts Unity Movement on Facebook and like us there and connect to us that way. The Indiegogo campaign is all over our Facebook page as well. It's a fundraiser campaign for us. We're at 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo, and we have a space there that we are turning into a performance place, a place where we can have dance that is connected to the heart and connects to the hearts of the viewers. And we call it empathic resonance. There's a connection that happens between the performance, the performers, and the audience so that they become connected. And the design of the dance and the music and all that is designed to sort of activate that in everybody. So it's kind of an expression of oneness through performance. And we are looking for some assistance in developing the space that we have, which is like a warehouse space, into a performance space. So some lighting, some theater style seating and stuff like that. So we'd love everybody's support. And also, we're still doing our Wednesday A Course in Miracles group from 7 to 9 p.m. Wednesdays at 149 South Boulevard. So if anybody wants, you can look us up through the Course in Miracles Foundation through Inner Peace. The locator has my information, or you can just call or email, 650-290-2848 or ssj888@gmail.com. If you want information about that, happen to hear this. Anything awesome. Else, Scott?
No, I think the only thing I'd mention is you guys at Arts Unity Movement, New Ground Dance Theater, has their show Quantum Leap starting June 5th, and you can get tickets also at artsunitymovement.com.
Absolutely.
And I'm a proud supporter of you guys. Love you very much. And
I love you too. And it's going to be a pretty awesome, amazing show. So if you're local in the San Mateo area and you hear about this, it's an intimate space, probably 50 people at a show. We're expecting the shows to sell out. And it's going to be powerful. I know that. Just have what little bits of the rehearsals I've seen, and seeing the design of the overall production, it's potent. It's going to be beautiful. So we're really excited about this. It's a awesome. Quantum leap.
It is. Well, we're really proud of you guys, happy for you. And again, if you're in the area, please check it out. If not, you can also donate no matter where you're at. And we really appreciate you joining us on today's show. And we're just going to end for today, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Awesome. Take care, Scott. Love you, brother.
Okay. Love you too, bro.